there's no proposed lots as part of the project. The zoning for the parcel is Odinson Core, and it's part of the Odinson Growth Management Area, and the parcel is not located within any critical areas. Here's some more project information. This type of project is a public capital improvement project. The total limit of disturbance of the project is 2.04 acres. And there's 34 existing parking spaces that will be included as far as part of the project. And those 34 spaces will be upgraded to 47 parking spaces. And this is just on the other side of Windmeyer Ave. As far as stormwater management measures, there's one bioswale, permeable pavement, sheet flow to conservation areas, and a porous playground surface included as part of the project. And the stormwater management treatment was designed such that there'd be minimum impact to the forested areas, as well as the environmentally sensitive areas. And the road configuration will stay the same. There's no changes to Windmeyer Ave. There's no new roads proposed, and the existing parking lot will be expanded, as I mentioned. So project location, let's see if this clicker works, it does. So here's the library here. This is like a Google Earth shot of everything. Here's the library. I imagine most of you parked in this parking lot right here. So the project area is just on the other side of Windmeyer Ave, south of Maryland 175. The project limits are within, it's bounded by Windmeyer Ave, and then Maryland 175 to the north. So along this line here, this is an inactive railroad, and then this is the Mark Railroad, which is an active railroad line. So project goals and scope. A few years ago, the Odinson Town Center Advisory Committee provided a list of possible amenities for a new park area, and after coordination with the library, concept designs were developed, and ultimately a final concept was selected. And then the goal was to take this final concept and to develop it into full engineering documents. These engineering documents will include clearing and grading, sediment control, storm drainage, stormwater management, utilities, landscaping, and numerous amenities. The area west of the library will be utilized for providing the amenities and doing all this engineering work, and the park will share parking with the library in the southeast quadrant of the park. So I do want to touch on the existing environmental features within the project area. As I mentioned, it's forested. The parcel is heavily forested. There's a forested area as well as a forest conservation easement. There's numerous specimen trees on the parcel. There's the Picture Branch Stream, which is the waters of the U.S., which has the stream and the stream buffer. There's wetlands and a wetlands buffer on the parcel. There's steep slopes on the parcel as well as the 100-year floodplain. So I should also note that there's no modifications anticipated for the highlighted features here, as there's no impact to them with our design. And so that would be the specimen trees, stream and stream buffer, wetlands, and steep slopes. So this is a map more or less showing the environmental features. Again, this is like an aerial overview of everything. The orange line shows the parcel, like property limits. This blue line here shows the Picture Branch Stream, as well as the 100-foot buffer around the stream. This green shape here, as well as this larger green shape here, these are the forest conservation areas. And then each circle you see here with kind of a small shape inside it, this is considered a specimen tree. So these are trees that are deemed not to be impacted by our design, at least trying to avoid impacting them as much as possible. And the larger circles around the trees are the critical root zones. So anything within this critical root zone is considered where the roots would be growing as part of the tree's growth and just what should be avoided as much as possible. And you can also see that these blue shapes here represent some wetland areas. So there's a wetland here, and a larger wetland area here. And these are all things that we were trying to not impact as part of our design. You can also see a wetland buffer, 25-foot buffer, that we are trying to avoid impacting as much as possible. And then these yellow patterns here, this yellow pattern, and you can see they're kind of throughout the map. These are the steep slopes, as well as this kind of lighter pink shape. These are all the steep slopes. So these are closer to the library and then the northern part of the parcel. Once we get to where the trail was designed, which is going to be more or less from this parking lot kind of looping around this way, we are avoiding the steep slopes as much as possible. So they're not really so much a critical part of the design. Oh, and also this white line here, as well as this white line here, this represents the 100-year floodplain. So we tried to avoid impacting that as well. And this actually continues along the forest conservation easement line. They're sort of the same line. It's just I couldn't show them overlapping with each other. So on to the next slide. I do want to touch on the forest conservation and specimen trees just a little bit. Again, the whole parcel is heavily forested, so some impact is unavoidable. The trail was designed to minimize impacts to the forested area and the forest conservation easement. The trail was designed with a vertical alignment to follow the existing ground as much as possible, which would limit the amount of earthwork and grading that could impact the trees. There's approximately 1.89 acres total of forested area impacted by the work, and 0.65 acres impacted within the forest conservation easement area itself. And fortunately, no specimen trees are impacted directly. Some are within the limits of work, but measures will be taken to preserve the trees. So we did our best to avoid impacting the specimen trees themselves. So here's the first slide showing the actual location of the proposed trail. So it starts, again, we're here in the library, this is where everybody's parked. Here's Windmeyer Ave. Just on the other side of Windmeyer is the existing parking lot. So the trail will be going from the existing parking lot and then looping around, going over Picture Stream Branch Stream, which is flowing across this way. You can't really see it from the aerial, but we have a pedestrian bridge right here, which will be going over the stream. So the trail goes from here, loops around, and then goes back up to this location here and ties into the existing trail, which goes from Maryland 175 down to the library parking lot. So this shows that, you know, for the most part, we are avoiding impact to the forest conservation areas, which is this green shape here, as well as this other larger green shape here. And we are going through the critical root zone a little bit of one of the specimen trees here, but I think with the appropriate measures, everything will be fine as far as the tree's health. So, on to the next slide. I just want to talk a little bit more about the actual features and amenities of the park. So, as I just showed you, we do have an 8-foot paved park trail. It's about a quarter mile long. We have a story trail, which I will go into detail a little bit more in the future slides. We also have a playground that is part of the design. We have pickleball courts, the pedestrian bridge and boardwalk, which I just showed you, a 40 by 20 foot pavilion, gazebo, two viewing decks, additional parking, which I had mentioned. We have bike racks and benches, and we have proposed lighting. The lighting will be for parking in the pickleball courts and potentially the playground area. We also have upgraded sidewalk and ADA-compliant sidewalk ramps near the parks, near the existing parking lot. So this is the concept layout, which shows more or less all of the amenities in addition to the trail. So again, the trail loops from the existing parking lot, goes over Picture Stream Branch with the pedestrian bridge, which is about 100, this bridge here is about 120 feet long. Goes over the stream, loops around, ties into Windmeyer Ave again, just south of Maryland 175. As you can see with the trails design as well, we are avoiding any impact to these wetland areas. We have a proposed playground. This is very close to the existing parking lot. And then on the other side of the trail here, we have two pickleball courts. We have a stormwater management facility right here. We have a bocce court proposed as well. We have bike racks. This is where we have a new and proposed sidewalk here with the proposed ADA compliant ramps. The parking lots themselves will be resurfaced as well as extended to the north a little bit and to the south, adding a total of 13 spaces combined between the two parking lots. We have portable toilets near the trail's entrance. And then we have a viewing deck here, a gazebo, and a 20 by 40 foot pavilion up here. And we will also be resurfacing the existing trail from the limits of where our proposed trail ties in up here down to more or less the library's parking lot down here. So I think this covers our amenities for the most part. So I do want to talk about the story trail a little bit. So essentially, throughout the proposed trail's limits, there will be laminated pages from a children's book installed along the outdoor path. And as you walk along the trail, you are directed to the next page of the story. I think, you know, within conjunction, you know, being so close to a library, it's sort of like, you know, we can get book ideas from them and, you know, change books as the year goes on. And it's estimated that 20 locations will be throughout the trail. As I mentioned, there is a proposed playground. It's located near the existing parking lot. It's going to be railroad themed. It's going to be 7,300 square feet approximately. And it includes a large composite structure complete with slides, monkey bars, and stairs. It might look something similar to this structure here, or at least includes something similar to this, but this is still in the design phase now. We don't know exactly what our structure will look like. But the park will also have additional slides, swing sets, and climbing equipment. It'll have pour-in-place rubber matting as the surface within the playground. There'll be sidewalk and benches lining the perimeter, and the playground itself will be ADA compliant. So I want to talk about the impacts and challenges a little bit of this project. The impacts, one of the obvious ones is the forested area. We do have 1.89 acres of forested area that will be impacted, with 0.65 acres of that being within forest conservation easement areas. There will be a temporary Waters of the U.S. stream impact, as well as stream buffer impact. There will be added impervious areas with adding, you know, pavement as far as the trail. And you could also consider the impervious areas as being, like, you know, the pickleball courts. That's an impervious area that we're adding. There also is a temporary 100-year floodplain impact. As far as the things that are not impacted, there's no specimen trees impacted. There's no impacts to the wetlands and wetland buffers. And there's no impacts to critical areas or rare, threatened, or endangered species. And some challenges as far as the project would be acquiring permitting prior to construction. And the anticipated schedule for the project, we are still in the design phases. And the design phase will continue up until approximately October 2023. The bid and award phase will then anticipate to be from October 2023 to February 2024, and with a goal of obtaining permits in December 2023. And that leads us to an anticipated construction date beginning in spring of 2024. So with that said, I'll turn it over to Emma.
Thanks, Jeremy. Great job.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay, so as mentioned earlier tonight, it is now time for the questions and answers session. I apologize. It's almost time for the questions and answers session. I'll put this up at the end of the slideshow, at the end of the meeting. These are all just important general numbers to have if you ever need to reach the Department of Public Works. If you ever have an issue in your backyard, you'll know where to find us. So we're about to start the questions and answers session. For 2 weeks after tonight, you may submit questions and comments through the website. You can also pick up one of those cool comment cards with Lynn in the back. Those can be mailed in. We do ask tonight that if you ask questions, we would like you to state your name first so that we know who's asking the question. Beyond that, if you want to receive a mailer with all of the questions and answers at the end of that, at the end of our questions and answers period, please do provide your mailing address. We will be able to send those written questions and answers back to you if you provide your mailing address. If you do not, we may not be able to locate you. So make sure that's on the sign-in sheet there in the back. All right. So at this time, we'd like to open the floor for some questions. You, sir.
This might be a little bit minor in the grand scope of things. Would it be possible to design the playground to have, like, different areas for younger kids versus older kids? Or is that kind of no-go, cost prohibitive?
One quick comment, sir. Can you state your name?
My name is Romney Patterson. I live at 503.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Again, I'm Bruce Burgee for Recreation and Parks. It is possible, and we do have some parks where we have a tot lot, which is 2 to 5, that is separate from the other equipment. We don't have enough room to spread out here to create two areas like that. So while there will be a differentiation in the equipment within the area, it's all going to be within one play area. And that's partially because of the surfacing that we use under our playgrounds. We use a rubberized surface. It's much safer for kids. We have to limit that because, as Jeremy was explaining, well, no, it's actually here. We've got so many environmental impacts that we're working around. We're trying to fit the park elements in around the environmental elements. But good question. Thank you.
I understand. Thank you, sir.
I think you may have been next in purple.
My name's Cindy Coke. I live right on the other side of the train tracks. Here's my question. He said lights at the playground. How late is this place going to be open?
Bruce.
Yeah, our parks, I wondered that myself.
Might have been a typo.
No lights on the playground. It's our parks are dusk to dawn for the most part. Here, we would probably adjust to match the library's hours so that there's the activity in this area all begins or ends at about the same time.
How will you keep people from going in?
Going in where?
After dark.
Going into the park?
Yeah.
We won't.
That's wonderful.
That's just like more than 100 other parks around the county.
I got a lot of comments to make and also have some questions. First of all, could
you please state your name?
Your name.
Roger Burke.
Thank you.
First of all, my family owns the property where the house is that the one that showed on the drawing.
The one that's kind of in, at the edge of the park?
Right.
Okay.
Now, first of all, I'm sorry. My concerns are directed toward the now-in-place pickleball court. After research online what comes with the sport, I find it will affect my brother-in-law in the worst way. My brother-in-law suffers from acute anxiety He's been there for 71 years or 72 years. And he's lived in that house, and the reason we never sold and the reason we argued with the county when they tried to buy it is because of that. But his mother was alive also. Now, which means that noise is a main trigger for his nervousness. Your demographic drawings show replacement of pickleball courts within, I would say, 100 to 150 foot. The LA Times did an article on research conclusions. They found that the sound of a solid pickleball paddle hitting one of the sports pyroclastic ripple balls can be 25 decibels louder than the hardest swing of a Wilson racket connecting with a felt-covered tennis ball. The legal claims and injunctions have been placed across municipal in California and across the country. These actions have forced similar resolutions between the levels associated with pickleball noise restriction ordinance for residential areas. If you install two courts with eight players, you increase the volume of 60 times eight as the noise decimal, so it'd be 480 decibels. You're looking at a cost-effective option for this total project. Who's going to maintain these courts, painting the new lines, netting the fences, and all that concern? You know, that's a big upkeep. That's a maintenance cost.
Sure. I believe we do have maintenance funds with Rec and Parks.
That would be the responsibility of our park maintenance folks. We obviously take care of a lot of different courts, more than 60 pickleball courts, for example, already in the county.
Okay. So, my other question is about the fence that you're putting around the property.
I don't think we're putting a fence around the property, no.
It showed on your drawings, I got it right here. Showed on your drawings that you're putting a chain fence up there, a steel fence around our property. Now, my question is, if all this goes through, what sound barriers are you going to put around the pickleball courts? Number one. Number two, the way it shows on the drawings that you're putting fences around. So who's going to maintain those fences? The park?
I don't believe we're planning on any kind of perimeter fence around the entire park. Right. I think it's possible that that was a parcel line that you saw, but there's no plan for a perimeter.
I'm not talking about the entire.
You're talking about the pickleball courts.
Property.
I don't think we're planning on putting a fence there either.
Why not? So, is your property at the southern end?
Yes.
Okay.
Right into the west.
Southern end, yes.
Could you put the map up again?
Yeah.
The one that shows the court.
Oh, sorry. I don't have a good view of the thumbnails from here.
That's it.
Okay. So it's showing the property line here. It's not showing any kind of fence, though. There's no fence noted here. This is just the property line, just showing that there's a property there that's not part of the park.
I want to contend. The current law for noise compliance, is your plan for the pickleball courts following the line with the Anne Arundel County Noise Control Program, the state of Maryland, and what effect is it going to have on the use of the library? Criminal elements. How does the county plan to protect citizens from muggings and sexual attacks? Is there going to be security cams implemented to help protect the citizens? In my closing, did anybody think about any of these things that you're doing right now? where they just say, hey, let's put a pickleball court in?
We've had considerable community input.
Did you do noise survey?
Excuse me, sir. I'd like to turn this over to Bruce Brucci to speak about it a little bit longer and at more length. But there have been several community input meetings already, and so I don't know that those are shared concerns.
Thank you for cutting me off.
I'm sorry, were you finished?
No. Go ahead. Do your thing.
No, I was going to respond to your questions. There's no perimeter fence. There's fence around the pickleball courts.
The noise barrier type?
We typically don't use noise barrier types. As I said, we don't have it in other places.
Well, it's in a sensitive area. A library plus homes are within, close proximity to the pickleball. And also, especially my property next to it.
I understand. Have you visited any of the other pickleball courts?
No.
and seen where they're located?
No, I haven't been around here, no.
Okay, all right. I might suggest you might do that and see when they're in action. I don't think the noise is as bad as you may be reading online.
Well, how come they're suing all over the country?
Well, you have to ask
California,
those people.
New Jersey shut down courts. You know, Arizona shut down courts. And it's in litigation constantly across the country.
About pickleball. You have to think about this before you put it in. We're not trying to be mean about it, but you have to think about it, and you have to think about the life of my brother that lives on that property.
Exactly.
Understood.
I don't see that happening. I'm very upset about it because...
Nobody seems to care.
Nobody cares. He's 70-some years old, and he doesn't have anybody to fight for him but me, and I will fight. I guarantee you.
Okay.
Too.
Any other questions?
No, I have a picture of the... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'd like to take another question at this time. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Sandra James. My husband and I live in Seven Oaks. I understand that this project falls under the Department of Public Works, but when I look at the map and I see where the library is, I'm coming off of 175, transportation, and once again, this is your department, transportation-wise, traffic, all right. Has there been any consideration or any thought about that? Because I'll give an example. During election time, we have a lot of traffic that's going back and forth. So I'm just wondering, has that come into play, or is that, even though you're the Department of Public Works? Because I don't see there's only one way in and one way out.
The park project makes use of the existing road network that serves the library property. This is all county property.
Right.
And so we didn't need to add extra entrances in just to serve the park or anything like that. So there's no change in the roadway configuration.
Oh, no, I didn't mean any change, but any expansion of it due to traffic.
Okay. Not at
all. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
You in the back.
My name's Shane Stotts. Kind of piggybacking off that a little bit. There's a lot of us who live like south of the park, and a lot of the subdivisions down there who, in order to alleviate traffic, we might want to access the park by walking or taking a bike or anything. Are there any plans to connect the park to Odenton Road and like expand some of the bike paths that we have so that maybe we don't have to go all the way around to get to the north side and get into the park?
That's not a part of this project at this time, but I appreciate the input.
Will the traffic on Overton Road be considered if something like that happens? Because we have enough idiots coming out of the train station every day. Does it give any of us any respect? I mean, we want to go to the grocery store, we want to go anywhere. We have to wait for the train to empty and those parking lots leave before we can leave our homes.
As far as traffic studies at this time, I don't have more information there. It's not a part of the project.
One more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Why weren't a lot of the neighbors informed of this meeting? We had some that got letters and some that didn't. I'm only on the opposite side of the train tracks, and I didn't know this unless I would have been on Facebook.
So the way that we're required to do our public meetings is we basically draw a buffer around the property limits of 300 feet. And people who live within 300 feet of the property limits, those are the people that get mailers. We also send mailers to all of the nearby HOAs so that we can make sure that people are informed. And so if you're not within that 300 feet, I apologize that you did not get a mailer. One's behind in blue. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Kristen. I'm just wondering if other area, if other locations were considered, for instance, across 170 Telegraph Road, Patty Corner across, there's a huge concrete field that has been seemingly abandoned for years. And I don't know what it is, but
plastic plant.
I would wonder if that could possibly be utilized instead of deforesting one of reducing further our forest land.
No, you're talking about the Nevermar site on the other side of the roads.
I've lived here for more than 40 years, Maryland my entire life, but that's an eyesore. And nothing's getting done. I mean, I had an investment property over in Northern Virginia that eminent domain got taken. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you had to take that property and repurpose it to do these things, like putting the courts in, putting parks, planting trees, and making that area, and leaving this forest area alone. I think we've lost 30% of our bird population in this country since 1970. You know the number one cause is deforestation. So I've heard what impacts are generally, trees, this type of thing. But the wildlife. Once you start bringing in tractors and start doing that, where's it going to go?
I mean, seen pictures of a deer and a fox.
My point too is that it's probably a Chesapeake Bay watershed with that stream through there. And the additional pollution and water flow into that stream and going downstream. I wrote to the riverkeeper and the watershed steward. They were not aware of this project. And so I just wondered if we could possibly consider another area in the county or nearby that could be reutilized or revitalized. That also is kind of an area across the street where that big concrete area is. That would be easier. There's less traffic over there. I don't know, but I don't think there are a couple of apartment buildings. But I don't know if there are other single residents.
There's a parking lot across the street.
Yes, that could be utilized for a parking lot.
Well, we appreciate the input, but as far as other private property goes, I really cannot comment on how it could be used.
I'm not sure if it's private property or not.
It is private property. There are a few questions ahead of you.
We're on water. Okay, that house is on water. When construction starts, how is that going to impact the water?
It will not.
Oh, you're not? You guarantee it?
We have no construction plan that will impact your well water, and in case there are questions about it, everything that we're proposing will be fully permitted, not only with the county, also with the state. All the way in the back.
Hi, my name is Colette Galway. So I want to thank you for this presentation. My family and I are very excited about this park. We have been driving to Howard County for playgrounds. We're over to Kinder Farm, and this area feels like a black hole for family activities. So we're very excited. I think you've all done a fantastic job in thoughtfully designing this to be mindful of the environmental impacts. So thank you for that. I have one request in terms of the playground. If it's possible to design it so that it's accessible and inclusive, especially to kids with disabilities. I know that also requires space and is a problem, but if that's possible, I'd appreciate it.
That's already included in the plan, and it will be an accessible playground.
Great, so that they can go up with their walkers and everything? Okay, yay! All right, wonderful. And then the other question that I have is, if anything is planned for crossing the parking lot to the library, if there are speed bumps or anything planned for that road that goes into the parking lot, so that any kids walking...
It will be a crosswalk. Yep.
But, raised crosswalk.
We can look into that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take Mr. Donaldson's part.
My name is Wiley Donaldson, and I'm president of the Overton Heritage Society. And we're very much in favor of the park, and we wanted to be a part of that. because first my question is, I hope they haven't officially named the park Library Park yet.
No, that's just what we call it.
We would like to have some input into that. The fact that the railroads, in fact, built Odenton. In case you didn't know that, there were some five railroads that went through Odenton at any one time. So this railroad that's right adjacent to this building was the oldest thing in Odenton. In fact, it was built in 1840, 30 years before there was Odenton. So that's a part of the history that we would like to maintain. And also the fact that our job is to educate and promote the history of Odenton. And with groups like this, I would like to invite anyone that would come down to our museum and park, I mean, historical society, down on the other side of the tracks, if you will, the old Masonic Hall. It's on Overton Road toward the railroad station on the east side of the tracks. We're open every first Sunday of the month from 1 to 4, and we can teach you the history of Overton, but we're very much interested in the park. We wanted to be a player in the park's design. We would like to see it around the railroad theme, and we would like to be an use our imagination and not call it Library Park, but call it something like Odenton Railroad Park or something to that effect, and use your imagination. So railroads are the things that built the community. Thank you.
Just let me respond to that real quick. There is already an Odenton Park that everybody out here calls Gork Park. The official name of that is Odenton Park. So we were wrestling with names. This is Odenton Library Community Park, just for the purposes of development. The County Council and the Recreation Advisory Board will later on in the project develop a name. I'm sure they'd welcome your input.
Keep me in mind. They'll be there.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I don't quite know who's next, so I'm going to go ahead and pick the gentleman on the edge. Yep.
Hi, I'm Mike Long. I am an avid pickleball player. I've been playing for a couple of years. We have a lot of players around here that actually go down to Annapolis to play because Truxton Park is probably the best thing they built.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know, you often ask for two more courts.
That's the number one request that Recreation and Parks get is for more pickleball. I'm sure, as you know, it's the fastest growing sport in the country. We have over 60 courts already. We're trying to get more geographic dispersal around the county rather than putting more at one particular place than the other. So we're going to start with two here, but you can expect to see them appear in other parks.
Maybe if we put lights up too.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Michaela Bergman, a longtime resident of Odenton. I love the park. I hate the pickleball. I find them to be noisy and annoying. But, everything else, I like the park. And I don't think you're doing any deforestation based on what you were saying. But, that's my comment. Sorry.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Abigail Mangar. I had two questions. One on the line of history. I was curious if we could have any signage about like history, understanding like why we're putting railroad themes, so that people can get a little more context of that and that history of like it being a previous center. And then the other question was just curiosity about green infrastructure or any type of solar or something that could be implemented where there is these
circumstances. So regarding references back to the history here, I'm not sure, but maybe some of our story trail?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I spoke with Mr. Donaldson earlier this evening, and we will accommodate the Historical Society if they want to put some markers or some educational signage in the park. We'll work with them to accommodate. We have that in a lot of our parks where there's something, even if it's not a feature in the park. We like to acknowledge where we are. That's part of the reason that this playground is being railroad themed. It's railroad equals Odenton around here. So we understand that and want the park to reflect that in whatever way we can.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Margaret Wu, I have one comment. I think everything you did here is wonderful, but
to hear that we're going to build a pickleball really surprised me. I attended previously your open forums. There are some organizations of the pickleball associations. They push very hard for a pickleball court in the whole county. If I live in this area, I think we have many homeowner associations that have those kind of court. I really question, is that necessary to build another one in this park? And looking at our area, we have many senior citizens, and this park is so close to the senior citizen center. Can we consider to build a senior playground? It's equivalent to a child's playground, but it's really geared to a senior to socialize, to get together. And I have seen many other places that has a senior playground, not just for adults of build strength, but for socializing and for slow exercising equipment at the outdoor. And that would be an ideal location. I really hope you will reconsider that at this early stage for adding a senior playground, which is so close to the senior center. And that's my first comment. Second one is, I think it's a great idea to have a playground right next to the library, because many of the kids, including my own granddaughters, we go to the library for everything in the library, especially during rainy days and hot sunny days. So when you build a playground, can you consider build a cover? Some kind of cover, not a building, but just cover for rain and cover for the midday sun, you know? My granddaughter and I come here, we just don't want to go out in the midday when the sun is shining straight. I really hope you will consider that. That will increase the usage of a children's playground. I have not seen any place have it. It really, you know, baffles me. I think it's such a simple thing to do. I hope you will consider that. That's my two comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments. And we don't have the space in the first phase, what we're looking at tonight. I guess something that wasn't mentioned previously is those of you that may have seen the earlier concepts, but eventually there's going to be other amenities. There's a dog park and an amphitheater scheduled with additional trails running through the park property. So that would be the opportunity to add what we call adult exercise, adult fitness stations. And Emma will tell you she's managing a couple of projects for us right now where the Department of Recreation and Parks is adding adult fitness equipment, like what you're saying.
I think we are so close to the senior center. They have all the indoor activity. This is an ideal location. Instead of putting a pickleball court there and as adult senior activity centers, you know, outdoor chess boards and outdoor exercise equipment, it would be ideal right next to a kids' playground. I hope you will consider that. Not putting it in the second phase. You can put it in second phase somewhere else, farther away from that gentleman's property. That may be more appropriate. That's my comment.
The other thing I wanted to comment on was your comments about shade structures.
Yes.
We've been redoing a number of playgrounds. We opened 8 new ones just in the past 7 months. All of those we've added sun structures, shade structures in to help break up and provide at the playgrounds some shade, not so much for the equipment, but for the moms that are sitting there while the kids are playing on, we're providing shaded benches and shade structures to help with that. So we're already addressing that.
I hope you will also consider shades for some parts of the playground, you know, the baby swings and those things. It's all fantastic.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
So, Jason Schwer, Odenton Town Center Advisory Committee. So, thank you for the presentation. Actually, I'm very pleased to see a lot of the initial discussions that we had over many, many months making it into the engineering plan, because we spent a lot of time debating this, and so I'm actually really pleased to see where you are. So, a couple things I can tell you that the committee members are going to be very pleased with that I'm very happy to report on their behalf. The lack of impact of specimen trees and the wetlands. That's been a big focus of the committee as we're looking at development projects in this area, that we're starting to become more concerned about the number of specimen trees that developers have to impact. So the fact that you're working around that, I applaud you. Good job.
Thank you.
The library usage, like, the one thing I wanted to ask, this is my one question, I have another comment overall, but a big focus of the committee was to make sure that this park was integrated with the library, and so that the library had the ability to set up educational programs and other type of just involvement in the park. And so I like where you're going with some of these ideas. I actually like a lot of the ideas the community's given so far, because I could see other ways the library could interact. That was a big driver for the committee's push to have it be here. And so do you anticipate there are going to be additional items that you think that the library could interact with? So, for example, like the pickleball, the bocce, was that a library driver, or was that what fit here? So that's I guess, first question. Then last comment, because I don't have any other questions after that, is I actually really like how you put the viewing ranges in over the wetland area, and I would like to keep that. The one question is the pavilion's kind of in a weird place. It seems like it's buried in there. Is that because of where it's going to relate to phase two, or is that the only place you could put it? So I guess two questions.
Well, I'll answer them in reverse order. The pavilion is where it is because that's the best place for it, and that's about the center of the completed park. So that's a logical place for it. It also, this way, the pavilion is not too far away from the library. And before I go any further, Mr. Tim Van Fleet, who's the manager of this branch library, our host this evening is here. He and I have had discussions about the story trail. I could see story time using the pavilion, take a group of kids out of the building on a nice day and take them into the park. We hope that synergy will develop. I think once we get the park built and opened, there will be more opportunities for cooperative programming. We have summer camps that we run. I don't know one would be necessarily based in this park, but the fact that we now have a library and a park side by side, that may provide some opportunities for some additional summer camp educational opportunities. The viewing platforms are primarily educational. We hope to educate the next generation how important these wetlands are and why we're going to all this effort and expense to preserve and protect these natural features. So thank you for your comments.
In the back.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Richard. I just want to say thank you very much. I appreciate all the effort that you guys, and I represent a group of about 25 pickleball players. Can you, and I might have missed it, how many pickleball courts is being proposed? Two. I'd like to make a request if you can at least make that four. That's on behalf of the group that I represent. We're all very excited about it, so it would be our request for at least four.
I got a question for you, sir.
Thank you.
How close do you live around here?
I live in Piney Orchard.
Piney Orchard? Okay. How about within 300 foot? Would you live next to the pickleball court?
Of course. It's a very exciting, engaging sport, and you would get a lot of fitness out of it. A lot of exercise, engaging. You meet a lot of people.
Well, you should suggest to the homeowner association to build them up there.
Well, everything is built already. And this is
all right, we're going to continue taking questions. Okay. Thank you. You and Green.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I have a suggestion since a lot of kids think the pickleball idea. Since there's not enough here. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a suggestion, since it seems like a lot of people near here don't like the idea of having them, and a lot of the people out there still think there's enough. Are you considering putting some at Gorge Park instead, where there's a lot of room? Maybe put the pickleball courts there and do something, like you said, for seniors. Because a lot of seniors use the library, a lot of kids use the library, but I imagine a lot of the people who play pickleball
Thank you for the suggestion. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I just have a question. So, I'm sorry, Tracy Matthews.
there are some middle schools that drop off the kids here at Odenton Library. So were you thinking about moving their drop off instead of being like right in front of the library, maybe to put in a little platform somewhere where they can hang out? And because right now I think they all kind of sit out front. I had one in middle school a while back, but they all kind of hung out front unless it was raining, and then they went in. So I just didn't know if that was in your plans as well, to maybe have a designated bus stop for them.
That's not currently in our plans or purview, but just speaking as a mother of a middle schooler, the last place I would want a bus stop is in front of a playground. The bus will never leave.
Well, it only drops them off. It doesn't pick
them up. Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's not currently a part of the project. Romney.
Yes. I'm Romney, same guy from earlier.
Yep.
This is part of the county's general budget, general maintenance. There's no special excise on residents or anything like that, correct, for this project?
No, this is there's no special excise for the project. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Can you show me where the trail is going to be up there?
Yeah, do you mind stating your name? Sorry, we're recording everything. Cheryl Evanson, thank you very much. Where the trail is going to be? So the trail is going to start up here at kind of the top of Windmeyer, and it's going to kind of curl around all of these environmentally sensitive features and come down here to the parking lot.
So it's not going to be over top of the train tracks?
No, ma'am. No, the train tracks are actually right, so this is kind of the train tracks back here. So it's kind of near, but not within our sight.
And those are train tracks are out of service now.
Correct. Yep, they're kind of cool, but they don't function. I'm sorry, can you speak up?
Yes, I'm listening. Why was that not? I'm just curious. I have two questions. One is, why do we not just use what's already in the train tracks so we're not adding a new trail?
We don't own it.
Okay, my second question was, the pavilion, I assume, would be a place where you would want to bring food and things like that, and it's as far away from the parking lot as possible. So driving shoot out to the pavilion might be really for families that got to be in a wagon or whatever else it might be to get through to the that might be a place or near bathrooms. You know, people stepping off in this area and things.
Okay.
Who wants to change that?
Amtrak.
Northern.
I know this gentleman with the baby has been trying to ask a question.
So, talk about the senior center, and also we have the trail here. I feel like it's a big oversight not to actually consider the bike trail and the wide trail that goes along Odenton Road. I mean, is there any plan where you want to actually connect it to that so you don't have to go up Piney Orchard and around to Annapolis and down? Because let's be honest, those roads are not safe for pedestrians or cyclists.
I know.
That would be a question for the Office of Transportation as they look at the various bike paths. We'll connect if there's something there, but there's nothing that comes to our park property now. So we're only this project is focused on this park, on this property.
But there's no, I mean, who owns? I feel like you guys have a property that goes all the way out to the road. Do you not, or is it just as far as the library goes and all that?
Yeah. As to,
because I mean, it seems like you have an opportunity to connect to the sidewalk there as well.
If it's a sidewalk connection that's existing on county property, yes, we'll make that connection, but not off this side.
They probably can't cross the train tracks because they don't own that, and so getting to like the CVS and the deli probably can't fit.
Yeah, if you guys want to cross the train tracks, like, I mean, we just don't own it.
No one using it. I mean, we drive over every day, so I mean,
that road's private. It's a blue road. It's a private road. We're calling it.
Yeah, and so we're respecting that as a private road.
Also, would people live directly behind here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been known that if you have a pickleball court behind your home or where it's in sound pressure, that your property value goes down.
Thank you for your comment.
Reduce the taxes and take care of all that for everybody. Good for later.
Thank you for your comment. Yes, ma'am.
I'll probably want to answer that.
I don't know if you're planning additional plantings, but if you are, I would make a request that the vast majority of the new plantings be native.
Absolutely.
To the Minuteman
Absolutely.
Area, because we're not the only residents here.
We will absolutely do that. I'm sorry, in green, and then I'll take Champion, and then I'll take you.
yeah, this is real quick. I was just wondering, what is the total length of the trail? Because maybe it's not as far as we need to get.
It's about a quarter of a mile.
About a quarter of a mile?
It's not that far, so it really, it looks far on
the It looks far, yeah.
And then how many trees are you planning to take out of all the wooded things? Like, that part up there, I was thinking it would be great that you're not touching that, but it sounds like phase two, that might all be going away, or what is it?
Phase two is not currently in this discussion. You know, that's down the road. As far as what trees we're taking out, any tree that's been identified as a specimen tree, we are not touching. Those are the big important trees. There's a lot of green briar that will be cleared so that we can make our ways through the woods and get our paths in, but we've gone through extensive efforts to minimize our impact at the forest.
So most of it is staying. It's just whatever you need to take out to make the trail.
That's exactly right.
But everything else is staying.
Yes. Yep. Yes, sir.
My name is Randy Orval. I live in Southport, nearby. I have a few friends in the room. And while we're not going to be able to probably have a productive pickleball conversation, let me say that I also want to chime in that I think that if we're going to plan on putting courts in, and that's the way it's going to be, that we really need to put four courts in. It's just, I know I get a lot of laughs and all of that, but we would like to just continue the conversation if we could, you know, later in the process. To have a continuation of that.
Why don't you guys get together and go get a commercial lot and build your own facility?
We appreciate everybody's input.
Want to just voice that here.
And everybody is heard.
Form. And I also want to say that I respect everybody's views here.
I know you do. And I respect yours as one playing pickleball. But going after a handicapped man's rights that's lived here for 77 years, his father fought the war and brought him here, that's not right.
Sir, we owe him a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, but they're
putting not getting these courts in.
They're telling you how they're going to have ADA of compliant things, but yet they're not going to do any more.
Let me
suggest you can continue this conversation outside the meeting. We're trying to have a meeting. If you two want to go,
I'm trying, we need
to hear from everybody, and we also need to wrap up.
Yes.
The library's got time.
Thank you very much for your input. You, sir.
What a spot to speak at. So this is Shane Stotts again. First a comment, then a question. My comment is that I used to be a physical education teacher, and this is something that I think should be addressed. I know there's probably a specific definition that you used for what schools are impacted, and I just want to say, schools will be impacted by this. If I was the physical education teacher over at Odenton Elementary, the first trip I would want to plan is to walk down to this park, and there's a library, and there's a trail where I can put kids into nature, I can get them on their feet, I can get them moving in their local community where they don't have to get in their car, use gas to drive to some other place. I think this is a fantastic idea, and I would want it expanded. And with respect to my pickleball friends, perhaps some of the many problems could be alleviated by not just making them pickleball courts. I've worked with a lot of construction of courts for like tennis courts, badminton courts, a lot of things. Could there be consideration for it to be a multi-purpose court where it's not just catered, because everyone in the community should be wanting to use this park, not just pickleball players. It's very easy if you're in a racket sport environment to make the netting adjustable for different sports, and you don't have to make it regulations. First things I taught kids, you don't have to play sport regulation all the time, just get outside and play. So there are racket sports that could be less sound intensive. There could be racket sports that just don't have as many people on the court all the time. Is it possible to have it be multi-courts so that more people can use the park, more kids who have different interests that aren't just pickleball, have physical activity and learning all in the same place?
I
I'm going to turn that one over to you, Bruce.
Okay, we have a lot of our courts that are dual use between tennis and pickleball. You can turn the pickleball court sideways and get more across a pair or larger tennis courts. Those are really the only sports that work because of the tennis net that's a permanent fixture that stays in the center of the court. So putting up a basketball goal at one end or something, it really just doesn't work. It invites vandalism and invites people getting injured, jumping over tennis nets to play something else. So we typically don't do that.
Oh, I meant like badminton. Like have a taller pole where the net could be raised or lowered so that different types of sports.
We can look at that. I'm not familiar with something that would facilitate that. Okay. But.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Abigail Mazar again. I think my earlier question about green infrastructure got missed in the shuffle, and then along the lines of connecting with education again, with native species, is there the possibility of having a pollinator garden to kind of support the pollinators, but also be like an educational tool for kids?
I apologize for skipping over your green construction questions. And I would make a statement that generally for this particular facility, because it is in such an environmentally sensitive location, the green feature is avoiding impact to it. Jeremy, Radin, is there anything to add to that?
We have a couple of green infrastructure features. We have here the parking lot expansion that's permeable pavement.
So it'll treat stormwater.
We're going to have a bioswale next to the pickleball court to treat that impervious area, essentially. The playground is a porous rubber surface, so it will have some stones, you know, to treat any contents. You know, so we are doing what we can, basically, in terms of a green infrastructure.
Okay. And in terms of educational incorporation, you can hear that there are some efforts between the library and the park. There will be some integration, but exactly what form that takes shape, that's for the future. Okay? Yes, sir.
My name is Kurt Rossmeisel. I've heard that there's multiple phases here, but you don't want to get into detail on phase two or potentially phase three. Can you give us a general idea? I mean, obviously, you've done some planning to the point where you've determined there's going to be additional phases. So can you at least educate everybody as in terms of what you're thinking?
Sure. The feasibility report and the master plan have all been available online since they were developed. A lot of work from people here in the community, as you heard earlier. There are two phases. I said that earlier. I'm sorry, maybe you didn't hear me, but the second phase has a dog park and an amphitheater in it. And we do not have a schedule for that. We don't have any details. What shows on the master plan concept is the location of where those would go in the park, but there's no details available on those yet.
Where is the amphitheater with
paint? Again, there's no details on any of the second potential phase for this project at this time. So we're here to talk about the first phase. Yes, ma'am, in the back.
My name is Lisa, and I'm about phase two, but just to ask if it's within the lands that phase one already occupies, or if it's an addition to that. So the footprint would be.
She's asking where phase two might be.
Phase two is up here.
Okay, so it's outside of the boundaries of what we're seeing for phase one.
Yeah, it's within the park property from the railroad over.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Courtney. I live off the Odenton Road, and I work here. I have a really small request. I'm really excited about it, actually. But Windmeyer Road, our address, the library address, is actually Annapolis Road.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of more of like a driveway into the library. And with the extra traffic that this is going to bring in, can we put a yellow line down the drive? Because people tend to drive down the middle of the road not realizing. I know it's a very small request, but I'm now here four times a day, and people don't pay attention and think it's a drive and drive down the hill.
We will consider that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, I'm sorry. This lady was first.
I want to tag on the Windmeyer.
Okay.
My name is David Lewis. My question was the two endpoints between the trail. Is that a separate paved trail to between those, or are people going to be walking on Windmeyer to go from one end to the other?
So right now there's actually a concrete sidewalk that goes in between, and we'll be refurbishing the sidewalk. All right, yes, ma'am, in the front.
Hi. I just wanted to know, do we have costs? Like, how much it's going to cost? Do you have that? I know you've already done a whole bunch of studies and all that, but do you have a cost at this point on how much it's going to be? I'm sure that that's like capital or some kind of thing, or are you selling bonds or...
In terms of exact funding, I'm not sure, but that information is available in the county's budget, which you can just Google, and it's publicly available.
Okay, so you don't know the cost, or you just don't want to tell me?
I don't know it off the top of my head. I'm sorry. yes, sir.
Is the county pursuing property rights for the railroad spur to eventually do something with it? I think it's sort of gravel and some old tracks there.
That's not currently in our plan, no.
Okay, wasn't the 2016 Woodinton Master Plan? I think that if rights were obtained, Windmeyer could be extended to alleviate some of the traffic concerns to the Mars East parking lot.
I'm trying to acquire it for the Heritage Society.
As I'll say, there are efforts to help them. I'll just say that Norfolk Southern is not prompt about getting back to anyone. They're kind of difficult to communicate with, but there have been ongoing efforts to talk with them and to see about that. So that's not a door that's shut, but it's...
It's a difficult door to open.
It's been a challenging door to open with the current owners.
They got their hands full right now.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi there. My name is Justin Soule. I'd like to hear from Rivers Edge questions about walkability. A lot of people have asked questions about the rail or the historic rail on Times through to see if we could connect the park, and we'll try to ask them a productive question. What does the Department of Public Works control surrounding the park and the library, and what can be done about walkability and recyclability to the park? It's in a very attractive location, very close to the WBA trail.
We recognize the attractive, property of this property for such a purpose. But as just stated, that railroad is a difficult item. It's been difficult to have any discussions with the owner. So we recognize that, but right now I don't have any information on that. Yes, ma'am.
Lorraine Rowland. So I guess the answer is the same. If we want to connect to the railroad station, the MARC station, that would have been so nice when I was commuting.
Sorry, yeah, we don't have any ability to do that at this time. Yes, ma'am.
Is there any talk of them widening 175 at all?
Not at this time. No, that's not part of this project.
Not part of this project does not, I mean, I just feel like that is such a canned answer that is, we need to think of the whole area going forward for the future. This is going to affect the surrounding area, and part of the county responsibility should be considering the whole planning of the county and this area as it affects other areas that are adjacent to it.
So I'm really, and the
Odenton Town Center Advisory Committee, the town center is not here. Why did you all get to make the decision about the park that would take out this whole forested area to make a grassy park and eliminate an area for all of the wildlife that is there?
So I can answer the question in the water area and then the second one. So the Odenton Town Center Master Plan governs the overall Odenton Growth Management Area, which this is part of the Growth Management Area, and the Town Center Advisory Committee is for actually the Growth Management Area. So it's basically the entire bubble of Odenton inside the rounded area 32 right around the Town Center area. And so for the bigger picture in terms of all of Odenton, I would encourage you to look at the Odenton Town Center Master Plan. There was a proposed draft for a revision of that that is still going through the process that incorporates actually Community Park as an item. For the decision, that the Town Center Advisory Committee is not a decision board. So what we did is solicit a lot of community input, package that together, put our recommendations on it, and pass that up to the county in terms of this is part of the master plan, we would like to see this happen, but the county has to make that decision. The committee is just advocating for the Odenton community.
Does it go through our district first, or does it just go up to the county?
Those things would go through Parks and Rec. So the Parks and Rec is making a decision on this. So the county council is not approving the specific amenities of the park.
But the park itself?
The park itself. And this is
for that park?
Well, this is an approved use for the county. The county council has backed this to become a community park.
And is that process completely closed and there's no, like, are all our comments and suggestions or all the considerations that are brought up today, how are they vetted or considered or addressed?
So everything tonight, we're taking all these comments. So as I said, this is the 30% design. So there is still, we're taking all the input from everyone and Parks and Rec and the design team will be looking at these and could be making changes as well. So this is not set. Same thing with phase two. Before they get to phase two, which is down the road, there'll be other opportunities for community input about what people want or don't want in there. So it's not closed off. Again, this is at the 30% design mark. And tonight is one of the nights to get the public feedback about what's being presented.
It's also not about what people want, but what's best for the area and the community and the environment.
Certainly.
So I feel like there has to be some kind of process or prioritization or something that's in the county that says this type of consideration needs to be weighed, this type of consideration needs to be weighed, not just who wanted pickleball courts, who didn't want pickleball courts, you know, what would be best. So that's all I'm looking for, is some logical, analytical, and responsible process to decide for the use of the space when there's other space in the county and nearby that might be harder to get, but not impossible. You're taking land from people to build a road or to make a circle or to do other things like that. So I just want the same, right, the same scrutiny and the same process applied to all of the projects and considerations, not just when it's easy.
Yeah, I agree with that, because the idea here is that there should be an open mind. I mean, the end game here is to make this community not look like Baltimore City. Okay, with pavement and concrete and glass and metal, but a place which is vibrant and green and has a lively environmental aspect.
You can't bring it back.
And we already have a memorial to trains called the B&O Museum up in Baltimore. That's beautiful. I recommend anybody go there.
Yeah.
We also have other nice parks that people can go to in this area. We have the federal park over there, which has plenty of bike trails and plenty of walk trails and so forth. Okay, what we're going to lose in this area is a lot of our green space, because as property values go up, builders will build on a postage stamp for the land.
Amen.
And we're going to lose this. Once it's gone, it's gone. We're not going to get it back.
This park is making sure that some people aren't going to build on this. This is not going to be used. This is not being taken away for development. This is, I echo what people say. I think I'm very pleased with how well environmentally this is keeping it as untouched as possible, but giving more people access to it. It's green space that now that more people can enjoy. Because right now nobody's tramping back through the woods. But now we'll have a trail where you can view the wildlife. If the beavers come back, you'll be able to see things from there. And this is protecting this land. This is not going to be built on for anything else. It's not going to be developed into housing
or anything. Tearing out all of that underbrush and putting grass and a dog park, like phase two, if you look at the picture, it's all grass. There's these few trees, which are you consulting with an actual arborist or an actual environmental person that's going to make sure these trees are not when you just go outside that little root ball? I mean,
we do have an environmental consultant involved in the project, and we do hear your comments, but you know, there has been considerable planning for this park in the past. We're writing down your comments, and we're taking notes, but you know, some of these things we're not going to be able to address.
Yeah, I would encourage you to be in touch with the county's Office of Planning and Zoning and to look at the various regional plans, because that's what you're talking about, acting regionally. This meeting is about this park and
that's
the pickleball and stuff
that's
in the park, yeah. So, I mean, you need to participate, find out what those processes are for the developing regional plan that feeds into the county's general development plan.
I expect my elected officials and my regional planners, the people that are skilled to do that for me. That's why you have your position, because you are experienced in park planning and running parks, and I expect you to protect the green space and to help the county and the area look for other space that's already sitting there dormant, concreted over, that nothing is using. Wildlife can't use that. People can't use that. It's just sitting there, and because it's too much of an effort to figure out who the owner is or to do eminent domain or whatever it's called over there, we're just going to tear up all this green space that we do have. I mean, that's all I'm saying is I expect you all to be accountable to us and responsible for the land usage that we have very limited. It's declining. You can't bring it back.
Okay.
There's wildlife living there. There's birds. Yes, I understand we have to share, but...
Well, thank you very much. We're going to take just a couple more questions tonight. I say three. We'll take three questions tonight, and that's going to be a wrap. So after that time, please do take a comment card, submit your comments via the mailer or on the website. Yes, sir?
I just want to comment on the conversation. You would think that that's a beautiful wooded green space.
No, I don't.
It's a blighted area. If you go walk it, it's a home to homeless. They've got their garbage in the middle of it. They've got their bags. They've got their...
My brother-in-law was not homeless, my friend.
I'm not talking about your brother-in-law. I wasn't talking to you. So...
You are now when you talk about my family.
What I realize is that area is a blight right now, and they could beautify it with the park.
There's wildlife
there. And I just don't understand why... People complain about there's nothing to do in Odenton.
Now, listening to the comments,
I can understand why there's nothing to do in Odenton.
Used to hang up on the railroad. They'll come back.
They're right behind your house.
All right, if we cannot stay civil, we can just end this meeting right now. I'd rather take a few more questions, please, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I'll say what I want.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, and
my name is Jennifer. I just wanted to say that I appreciate everyone's time. Nobody's ever going to make a plan that makes everyone happy. There's always going to be something that somebody doesn't like.
Right.
And I understand, you know, working in county government, that there are consultants, there are environmental experts, everything goes into that. I understand people have concerns. But I just want to say, I don't have kids, I'm single, I don't go to the library all that often, though I should. I just want to say that I'm very excited because, to me, anything that brings out the community into the outside, into the space, even if it's not the activities everybody wants or it's not enough of the activity everybody wants, anything that brings the people out of the community and puts them closer to engaging with the library is an outstanding upgrade to the community. I think people do not realize how much the library in general has to offer. And anything that brings the community out and puts them closer to the library and the library services is something that can only be an asset to our community. Thank
you. Can I just add something real quick? That's an assistant branch manager.
That's right here.
Information, we get federal, county, and state information as well as environmental reports from Fort Meade that are in our community information resource section. It's not printed and we haven't received it. We have staff here who can help you locate that information.
Thank you. Last question for the night. Yes, you and the...
I left 30 years ago and I don't even know, when I come back here, I drive around and lost because so much has changed. So I never would have been able to come here. But I am curious, this is just an objective question. When you go up Telegraph Road, just a mile from here, less than a mile, probably half a mile, right? You cross Annapolis Road, and on both sides, it's just concrete. What is that, and who owns that?
That's owned by some private people that are looking, that are working toward developing that.
They should put a massive, put 20 pickleball courts there. I'm not sure.
All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leave this up for a minute. You can go ahead and submit questions through the OPZ website for two weeks.